Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
ninth event, and they're already pretty much, in my eyes, the best organization in the area, from what I've seen. And I missed a couple shows, but from what I hear, you know, it's regrettable that I missed them. They've been huge shows, and so this one hopefully will be the same. It's going to be at a place called the Jungleplex in Plymouth, Massachusetts. So that's April 3rd. So that's happening. And if you notice on cagefx.com, on the lower left-hand side, there's a little logo for something called Battle of the Badges 2. That's another thing we're going to be working on Fight News Unlimited. And we've got a whole group of New England law enforcement guys going against New York firemen on the official traveling team for the New York Fire Department. So we're going to get cop, fire, and maybe even a little bit of a military theme into this event. So it's going to be right up my alley, boxing and military. I used to do that. It just reminds me of all the shows I used to do at Norwich. And speaking of shows, I talked to your good buddy, Tony, this just yesterday, Steve Acunto. Yes, I did. And he informed me that he has a book that I need to come down there and see about Muhammad Ali. It's supposedly like an 85-pound book, and it's worth like $10,000.
Wow.
But he's got it through his school.
Show up there?
Yeah, there's going to be a show in May, and we're both invited. He says he remembers you. He never liked you. No, I'm just kidding. I mentioned your name. It didn't ring a bell, but I mean, he's probably seen so many people over the years.
Yeah, sure. The last time I spoke there was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
In 1997, I spoke there. I spoke there three times. So I finally been there. They were most people.
That's sweet.
I stopped them in the second round. They had a big show. They were talking to the Philly Chico Masters University about Columbia Rockin' Show. It's got Dennis Brown and Rob Jones since I was a freshman. And Dennis was always really nice to me, and he always really treated me good, and he actually awarded me with my medal after I won that fight, which, you know, was, and I have a picture of it. And I'm standing next to the kid I beat, and he's got a bloody nose, and I'm standing with a dumb look on my face, and I have a medal around my neck. So I told Dennis I'm going to scan it and send it to him.
Yeah.
And another funny story while I'm on one of my tangents, anyway, is this coach I'm talking about, Dennis Garner from Mansfield. He was having, his, like, Mansfield always had a real small boxing program. If they were lucky, they would get one member of the Nationals every year. They didn't have a very good budget. But you know, Dennis really busted his ass. He really tried. So my sophomore year, he's putting on his first home show. And all the schools didn't show up. Chickensburg didn't show up. So, like, there goes two fights right there. Two or three fights.
Chickensburg? Is that what you said?
Chickensburg.
Some more snazzy stuff added over the long haul, We're going to be doing a lot more videos in the KHFX name. They're going to be our new official Fight League sponsor. You know, we only have one at a time. We had Tri-State Cage Fighting. They were with us for like a year. And I think it's time to give a new spot up. And CFX is local. We can do a lot more with them here. And, you know, they treat me well. They treat their fighters well. They have a good reputation, so we're going to be doing a lot more coordinated stuff with those guys. Me and girls, ladies, Linda Shields, of course, is the extreme promoter. She calls herself. I'm just looking at that in her email right now. Extreme promoter. She is. She's very good. But anyway, we're going to have Levy on later, and then about 8:30, about 15 minutes. So we got to run through our boxing and MMA news in about 15 minutes flat. But real quickly, go to battleofthebadges.info when you get a chance and check out that event. It's going to turn out to be a real good event. And that's one of the other things that I'm going to be working hardcore on over the next couple of weeks. So if you're in the Boston, New England, New York area and you want to get involved in an event where there's going to be a whole lot of civil servants around and having a good time, you know, come on down. So right in South Boston there. Near the convention center. It's a good venue. Just went down there today to check it out. It looks pretty cool. And it's for a good cause, too, this crash program, which is all linked to the site. But anyway, we have some boxing coming up this weekend. You know, I always like to go to you, Tony, because you know the biggest fights, usually.
Well, first, I'm going to focus on the two cards we had on HBO and Showtime last weekend. First fight, I'm going to do the Showtime card first. The event was Vince the Crowd Dardanian, Floyd Guerrero, and Floyd Guerrero hit one hell of a chin. He started the chin, hit him with bombs, 12 rounds, and Guerrero never went down. I mean, he hit him with some flush punches that, I mean, he even knocked over, their moose. And he stayed up for that in the distance, very impressive. The main event on the HBO card was Devin Alexander, a good young up-and-coming fighter. Flush off his word on Jimmy Ritter, but he forced Ritter to, surrender for over 3 days in that round. And he fought Juan Durango is a tough operator. He only had two losses, to both decision losses, and this will come to Andre Berto, who Berto was just too fast for. Durango's guy, he suffered his first knockdown in the world fight against Randall Bailey. He got up, but basically, his chin was there to barely chin. That's why he won in the end round. So he goes and he put Devin Alexander. Alexander not boxer, but a competitive fight. He's strong, he's tough, a physical guy. And he kept pressing the action. Devin Alexander hit him with an uppercut. It reminded me of George Foreman, Joe Frazier, when he lifted him off the canvas. Because both of Durango's feet actually set the canvas. And he went down, and got up, and Alexander put a great back down. The referee stopped it. I think it was a little premature stoppage, but overall, it was definitely worth it. The stoppage, might have been a little bit early, but the fact of the matter is, the guy was stopped, he was hurt. Coming up this weekend is the big showdown in Dallas, Texas, between Max Pacquiao and Spencer Floyd Mayweather Jr. But is everyone going up that sounds Jimmy Pacquiao and Joshua Clash?
That's this weekend?
What?
Already?
That's this weekend, yeah. Pacquiao and Clash, Saturday night.
Shizzle.
In Dallas, Texas. And because they do Dallas Cowboys Stadium, and they already sold 45,000 tickets for it. We sold 41,000 and 45,000 considered a sellout, which I don't know how that's possible when there's...
They're not really coming to see Pacquiao versus Claudio, though. They're coming to see Humberto Soto versus David Diaz.
$1,000 Walmart gift card.
Nice! I just checked his record. He got a
my opinion on it. I never had a chance because I've been so busy with this new job. So I'm writing a preview prediction article, but so I'm going to give it to you right now verbally.
Okay.
Our clock's at the top. It's a fire. It's strong. And with the Rangers, it will be the most impressive, honestly, I mean, of the two big losses. It's lost to Antonio Margarita, where he's beating Margarita for 3 rounds. And this quote is that if you fought Margarita one-handed for 9 rounds, if you don't know if Margarita had the loaded hand wraps or not, then lot it down. And if the fight is over, he didn't even need to bring his class shot. And then the other loss was to Miguel Cotto, where he, they kind of got tangled up, and Claudio went down to the brain to tangle in the fourth and fifth round, and still fought the whole fight. Well, Cotto tooth and nail, and a very good friend of mine that was covering that fight, thought Claudio beat Cotto. So it's definitely a challenge for Pacquiao. People say, oh, he's a sacrificial lamb. No, bullshit. He's tough, he's got good skills, he's got a good chin. I don't see this being anything like Pacquiao had in the second round destruction. I do see Pacquiao being too fast for him. And as Pacquiao, winning through a decision was a round stoppage. One of you got to be careful with him, even though he's a very tough, durable guy here.
I'm more impressed with the undercard, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't want to get into the debate of whether, Claudio's got what it takes to get in a fight. I haven't really watched enough Claudio fights to make an opinion on him. I've seen a couple fights, not even the whole thing. I don't think I watched, but, any given Sunday, just like any sport, you never know what can happen. But I like the undercard even. Stacked. What's that going on there? You know, you get John Duddy back in action. He's been out for a while, coming off a tough loss. The Diaz-Humberto Soto fight. Diaz, he's coming off the Jesus fight of the week. He beat Jesus Chavez, who was 44-5 back in September of last year. He's a southpaw, rated number 2 in the United States, 14 in the world, according to BoxRec here. He's only got 2 losses, one of them to Manny, and one of them to Kendall Holt, way too shabby himself. So you got that one. Obviously, there's also Alfonso Gomez versus Jose Luis Castillo. That's for the WBC Continental Americas welterweight title. By the way, the Diaz-Soto fight is for the vacant WBC lightweight title. Soto is 50-7 with 32 knockouts and 2 draws. Diaz is 35-2 with 17 knockouts. And Alfonso Gomez, 21-4, 10 knockouts. Versus Castillo, Jose Luis Castillo, 16-9. One draw, 52 knockouts. That's a hell of a ratio right there. That's unbelievable. And then John Duddy, like I said, he's got a tough fight himself here at middleweight, 10-round middleweight fight. It's the last real big fight on the card here, although there's quite a bit of other great fights. This is the only one over 8 rounds, the last one over 8 rounds, I should say. John Duddy's 28-1 with 18 knockouts, fighting Michael Medina, who's 23-1 with 18 knockouts. So, it's going to be a good test. But also, there's a couple other ones worth mentioning. We get Samuel Pierre fighting as a main event again. Under Bob Arum. And it's supposedly on United States Fox. He's 33-3 with 26 knockouts, fighting Nagi Aguilera. He's 15-2 with 10 knockouts. And he's fighting at Super Flyweight. No, I'm just kidding. That's the undercard. Super Flyweight, Hernan Marquez, 27-0 with 20 knockouts, fighting Richie Mitrone, 16-2 with 3 knockouts. That's for the WBC, USNBC Super Flyweight title. There's also a pretty interesting fight Friday in the PAL gym in Yonkers, New York. Where you got Ronson Frank, of 13-0 with 7 knockouts versus Reynard Darden, who's 11-21. That's not the main event. The main event's a heavyweight fight between Daryl Madison, 14-1, versus Robert Wiggins, 20-7 with 12 knockouts. And then there's a huge event down in the box fights between Tony Grano and Mark Brown. There's a whole bunch of stuff on the website. Really? Yeah.
Tony Brown, absolutely. That's a rematch. Grano was heavily favored in the first fight. Brown knocked him out. I know of Tony Brown. He's a very charismatic guy. He's a limited player. Very strong, very physical. He's never going to be a world beater, but you know what? People like him because he's entertaining and he can love himself.
He's good enough, he's smart enough, and doggone it, people like him. Alright, so then we go to, let's see. We're into next week here. On Wednesday. Nothing really else. Jumping out of here, Box Rick. What's going on for, is there an ESPN Friday Night Fights this week? I'm not seeing that here. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't, I'm not going to be around, so I'm not even going to look.
Well, I might have to, check the MMA. Apparently, Kimbo is not going to be fighting James Toney in his first fight. I did hear that. Still on track to fight Meathead from the Ultimate Fighter show. Apparently, Dana White wants to tenderize the Meathead. And it doesn't seem like they're very interested in, you know, making him a superstar, Meathead. They just like to throw him in there because he's got like a huge right hand. A la Rocky, but without any of the skill of Rocky, you know, just the lucky right hand. So, he's good for that, but, man, he's sloppy, he's out of shape. He's, you know, not the best of the bunch, of course. He's just kind of lucked his way onto the card, and, you know, he's like one of those hangers-on of the show that eventually gets weeded out, you know, if they're getting beat here and there. Like, what's Sims even going to change after this show to fight the UFC? Anyway, we got a couple events coming up this weekend. I think 3/12, 3/13. Today's the 12th?
Today's the 11th.
Okay, so nothing going on tonight. 12th, we got a whole bunch of stuff. Wild Card in Spirit Mountain Casino in Oregon. That's SF27, whatever SF is. We got the Win Fight and Entertainment 6 show in Bahia, Brazil, also on the 12th. It's a show in Sydney, Australia at the Hoarder Pavilion. Lombard versus Santore, CFC 12. SF is Sport Fight, by the way. Sport Fight 27 is the Oregon show. Nobody jumps out of that card. Anybody that you should know. Local guys in the Australia show, too, it looks like. Let's see, the Extreme Cage Fighting Championship 47, we've been doing business for a while, in West Waterford, Michigan, at the Eagles Hall is going on tomorrow. It's called Warriors Collide. The card listed there. Then we have another event in Australia on the 13th. The Mansfield Tavern in Queensland, Australia. It's called Rise MMA 4. And also on the 13th, Power Fight Extreme 2 at the Churitiba Military Circle Gymnasium in Churitiba, Paraná, Brazil. That'd be a cool town to be from. Yeah, it's in Paraná. What? there. All right, King of the Cage Uppercut is going on at the AV Resort and Casino in Laughlin, Nevada. Knockout Promotions is putting on The Gauntlet 1 on the 13th in Salamanca, New York. JoJo Red Eye Building. Which makes me kind of puzzled because I don't think New York. So PA was MMA. Statewide, so what's going on there? But they're showing two fights, Bobby Favors versus Jonathan Ivey and Mike Darren versus Chris Howard. Knockout Promotions. This is not in the city yet. Alright, well, we have Combat Power Championship. Baltimore Watkowskis Municipal Stadium, no gymnasium, also in Brazil. That's on the 13th. Ultimate Victory 9 Revolution at the Ohio Expo Center in Columbus, Ohio, going on the 13th. Return to Newbies V3 Fights is going on in Memphis, Tennessee, and Newbies. Extreme Cage Fighting 2 Championship. 40-inch lights in Lansing 2 is going on the 13th at the Ramada Inn on West Saginaw in Lansing, Michigan. And we got SWAT 32 at the Tokyo, Japan, South Tokyo Annex Gold Gym. And Heat 13 also on the 14th in Nagoya, Aichi, Japan. And 7th Ring is going on the 19th. Now it's time to give our first guest a call, I guess. We have Lee Bean, who we've never had on the show before, starting off here. And then we're going to have Christian Warcraft, who we had, I want to say a few months ago. Two fights ago. MORCRAFT, just like it sounds.
That's Christian Warcraft. That's it the first time.
Well, Lee Bean, LEEBEANE. I was going to confuse you and say we're going to be interviewing Mr. Bean tonight. Mr. Bean!
Behind you, doing whatever it took to be able to jump out the cage and
You even did that well to finish off your fight there.
Yeah, Gary and Linda, Gary joked with me about one of my first fights. I jumped up on the top of the cage out in Worcester. It was actually my second pro fight. And as I jumped up, I got blinded by the light. I got blinded by the light, so I didn't get all the way up and over the cage. So he goes, oh, what are you? You're not strong enough? You too weak to get up on top of the cage. So I said, all right, my next fight, after I knock the guy out, I'm going to go straight up and over and out the cage. So I've been doing it in a sense. And actually, there's a funny clip of that fight on YouTube. And you see when I jump out of the cage, I actually broke the plywood platform outside the cage.
Yeah. I think where you jumped was about two tables over from where I was sitting. So I got a good view of that.
Okay. Yeah.
They had me cage side for that event, so it was nice. That was a good opportunity to have an outdoor show like that.
Definitely. I heard her say that they're probably going to do it again as well.
Yeah, the only problem they had was a little condensation on the mat at the end of the night, but,
A little condensation? it was like a ice cream.
Yeah, it was like before the kids could even engage in the last fight, one kid broke his ankle or something.
It was bad. I fought, I think there were three fights out of the line. When I fought, I'm pretty good on the ground. When I get off position, I finish a fight pretty quick. I couldn't even face up. Every time I faced up, the guy moved a little, and he slid 6 inches across the mat.
Yeah, you gotta tell me something about that this time.
Yeah, I think it was 45.
All right. mistake.
I was actually on YouTube right now looking at the video of the leak.
Yeah. Yeah, if you turn the volume on, I think you can actually see the wood break as I come down on it.
Now, Jason Duloff is a common opponent, because Christian Moorcraft just fought him, right?
Yes, he did.
Have you watched that fight? Show. Yeah.
people there, and it ran so fast because there was only like three fights that made it past the first round, and it was still entertaining. And of course, it wasn't all quite mismatches, but you know, it wasn't all people getting lucky either. You know, so it was good.
Right. Yeah, I think, I mean, the biggest thing is that they put on such a good show, and they give so many local fighters a chance to fight.
When right.
You think of both together shows, if you think of all full force, they're running like, what, four or five shows? AFO's running like six or seven shows last year. You know, these other, and they're running with a lot less fights. They're running anywhere from eight fights. So, you know, if you're a local guy trying to get fights, trying to build your record to get to the next level, now you got to travel out of New England.
Yeah, and it seems like there's no shortage of guys coming up in this area either. There's so many healthy schools around here. You've got the local recognition. I think pound for pound, I mean, some of the best guys in the sport are from this area. You know, they have connections out here. Gabriel Gonzaga, I ran into a show down there in Foxwoods one time. And somebody came up to me and he goes, you know, this is Gabriel Gonzaga over there. I can get shit in you. And I went over to him and I go, that guy thinks you're Gabriel Gonzaga. And he goes, I am. You know, he's just a real casual guy.
I worked out with Chris Friedman.
Yeah.
I worked out with Michael. I was supposed to meet him, and he actually came down to Bishop's Gym in West Bridgewater to meet me. We're a good compliment because he's so good at jiu-jitsu, and I'm a very good wrestler, so we play against each other's strengths, and we're a great workout. You know, Marco Alvin is his manager and owns Team Link with him, and, you know, I've been lucky enough to make contact with those guys, and, you know, I get to work out with him, and I got to make a consistent basis, which I think is how my game grows so much.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy, like you said, but he comes out to, you know, when he's out of his gym, but he'll come down to the gym to train you know, a couple of us down at Bishop's, and he comes down and everybody wants pictures, and a lot of people want autographs, and, you know, he stays there and he signs autographs and takes pictures with everybody that wants.
And then you get to, of course, the Joe Lazon and his brother, Danny, and Kenny Florian just had an awesome last fight. He just totally tuned up in boxing, unbelievably.
Yeah.
I think Joe should follow the same group. He had a little tough.
Yeah, you look at the rankings. I mean, the top 10 in the world. You've got Kenny Florian in the top 10 at 155, and then a lot of people actually forget about Josh Christie.
Oh, yeah.
That 145. Yeah, he's really, he's a solid guy, too.
Yeah, I watched him come up from nothing, pretty much. I've been to all the Plymouth shows that he started with. You know, I've seen him in some of his earliest fights. Just been unbelievable. I think one fight he did just like a karate kick to the guy's face and knocked him right out. And one of the fights lifted him in the ring. The only time I ever went to the show in Mansfield before this one, last one for Cage of X, was in the ring. And he kicked this kid in the face and just boom, right out. Unbelievable. Anyway, you know, looking forward to this next fight here. Have you fought or seen a fight in this venue before?
I fought in for this while back. I think the first time they had a Plymouth show in Boston. It's a good venue.
What do you think of the whole layout there? It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great show. I mean, the only issue that ever happens there is it's a pain in the month apart. If you get there late, but I'm quite lovely and early. The layout's good. There's plenty of space for everything. There's plenty of space for vendors. There's space for the food. There's plenty of space for fighting. Chill in the back, and you know, the ring, the cage is, you know, plenty of seats. As much as you understand it, walking you want to, it's a great venue.
And what do you enjoy most about fighting in general, and you know, the moments leading up to the show and all that?
Winning.
Winning. Quick answer.
What I enjoy most about the fight game, I like being able to help other fighters. And teach them some of the skills I have and then pick their brains on other things. Like tonight I was working with John Clark, who's a high level Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. He teaches at Y-Crew and he teaches at Lozon. And, you know, we're going back and forth. He was showing me some jiu-jitsu. I was showing him some of the techniques I use to take down the cage and use the cage. And, you know, I think that's the great aspect. I pick up so much just from doing those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy cutting weight. I don't enjoy necessarily the daily grind. I mean, I work 50, 60 hours a week, so I'm driving home from training now, and it's like almost 9 o'clock. You know, I won't be home till 10, and I got to be up at, 4 or 6 to start working tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about. Unfortunately, you got to have a day job and you're working on your dream. But then once you get to the dream point where it's starting to be realized, I mean, you're starting off undefeated. So, that's quite a good thing to have going. Knock on wood.
Yeah, that's the game.
We'll
keep winning, right?
Yeah, keep winning and keep making a name for yourself and just keep being a character like you are. You'll be fine. You'll get there.
There's a reason. I'll play it out.
And, as long as you have a good day job, too, that helps you keep in shape, that's always
any sense. It should be uniform one way and that's it, done with it.
It confuses the fighters, and then you get fouled. You get, you're worried about it, then I say, you can go down, I go to throw an elbow, now I gotta hold that elbow back. Well, if I hold that elbow back, and give that guy that half a second to counter what I'm trying to do, I just get it.
And I've seen a couple of fights get called off, both at the UFC level and the local level, where a guy did a 12-6 elbow. And one of the best examples I've seen live was a guy who just got killed. He got shot there by his stepfather, Justin Eilers. There's a big case there. It's kind of in the news for that. But I've seen him in a show in Iowa, and he fought some no-name kid from Iowa. It was like the main event of the whole night. And it just got kind of tainted by that whole scene. And you get disqualified for 12-6 elbow. We won the fight, but the little kid won because of the disqualification.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But that's the way it goes. That's how the rules are. I think that's the rule everywhere anyway. No 12-6 elbows. But that wasn't really a thing where it was a universal rule. Happened. We lose it. Hello? Tony, are you there?
Yes.
Hello? All right, we're calling him again. I think we lost him.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm trying to hold him around the call.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So, go ahead, Tony. Tony, do you want to ask a question, or?
Well, let's make fun of you, Rich.
All right. Well, anyway, so do you have any final thoughts or anybody you want to give a shout-out to, or anything you want to pass on to your opponent, because we're going to be talking to him in about 5 minutes here.
I want to shout-out Y Crew, Lozon, Bishops, Elite Fitness, Prime Athletics, Celsius, the Club Alex is everyone that takes care of me and helps me out and helps me be able to do what I'm doing. My girlfriend, my family, thank you for everything and all the support I get. And then Christian, I hope you're training hard because I am. it's pretty simple. The fight's going to go one or two places and, good luck to whichever guy doesn't have it where he wants it.
I'll let him try to find out for himself what your strengths are. I won't leak the information.
No, you already know. You get strong. It's no big deal. I don't try to hide it. Every guy I spot is known. I'm going to take you down. Stop it.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
But that's not the thing. That's the thing a lot of people underestimate. Just because I take everybody down doesn't mean I don't have a stand-up game. It's just my strength suit. So I stick to my strength suit. But, I've been training MMA now for over a year and a half. I very rarely work on the ground. All I work on is stand-up. I work on my boxing, my Muay Thai, my kickboxing, my clinch game. That's what I focus on. That's what I work on 5 days a week.
That's good.
So, good luck.
Yeah, I hate to regionalize anything, but the only thing that I've seen in the local fights lacking in any fight game as a theme is the boxing, I think. And Tony's of course a huge boxing fan more than an MMA fan, so he'll tell you, he's had experience with MMA people who are trying to bring him in as a boxing coach, and they just go, that's just punches, and I think Kenny Florian was the best example of how that can improve your game. I mean, you've seen how he improved between fights, getting beat up by BJ Penn and then coming back and just demolishing his life.
That's one of the things I really focus on. I go to Bishop's Gym in West Bridgewater. They have the three-time defending heavyweight New England champ boxer. I spar with him. I work with Eddie Bishop. And then at Y Crew, John Allen, Mark Clem, Big Drummond, Pizza. I mean, all those people that help me work on my hands every day. I was just at Y Crew in Boston for a little over 2 hours. And I worked about an hour and 40 minutes on stand-up and about 25 minutes on takedown.
Yeah, that's the more popular format, too. I mean, pound for pound, when somebody's slugging it out with another guy in the middle of the ring, that's when the crowd is on their feet,
all the time.
Yeah,
every show
my goal is to get to the point with my stand-up where, you know, I decide where the fight goes using my wrestling, but I can use my stand-up to take advantage of the other guy, you know. Like, a lot of people don't know unless they're more of a hardcore fan. Chuck Liddell is a very, very good wrestler. He just uses it to stay on his feet and knock the shit out of you.
Yeah, right.
He could take down most of the guys he fights. He just doesn't.
Yeah. Some news is recently, I don't know if you heard, but him and his porn star girlfriend were like exercising in the nude. It's all over the news now. There's videos online.
You have a girlfriend that looks like that.
Right, yeah. She's on the treadmill. He's doing like stair steppers. What the hell? Who films that too? He likes to live on the wild side, from what I've heard. I actually talked to a guy who used to be one of his trainers. And, it was kind of on a down low, anonymous level, but he gave me all the dirt on how Chuck used to be in his prime. And you know, it was related to the Zions case, so he told me that Chuck never actually took Zions the whole time he was sponsored by them. That's interesting. So I spoon fed him everything every day, you know? Wild child, from what I heard. He needed babysitters a lot of nights. He's crazy with the ladies and the nightlife.
Why not, right?
You gotta live like him.
If you can be like him and still be successful with what he was doing and be able to do what he wanted to do for fun, you can't fall for that.
No. Well, he's still gonna be on this Ultimate Fighter the next episode, so next show. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And what do you think of the whole MMA on that level? We didn't really get to talk about that. I mean, do you have a favorite fighter or you know, a league that you follow more than any other?
I follow everything in the U.S. I don't follow too much on the foreign front. But, I mean, I really like Randy Couture, Dan Severin, Dan Anderson, you know, all the old school wrestlers who came into the sport kind of playing the trail for guys like myself, you know. And I'm a little partial to Gabriel Gonzaga, and now that I'm working out with him, I've always been a fan of him. I mean, I remember when he knocked out Krokop with his freaking head kick, and, you know, that's what I thought had up to.
Yes, that launched him on the scene, like the whole deal with Lazon. Almost the same case scenario, except I don't think Krokop wasn't the champion at that point.
Right.
Lazon beat her. Yeah, Krokop had a pride championship.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been great catching up with you, talking to you. Any other final thoughts before we get on the line with your opponent?
No. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for promoting the sport. And I wish Mr. Moorcraft a healthy and successful training camp.
All right. Well, you can check this out at fnu.mypodcast.com, and I'm gonna send Linda the link, so I'm pretty sure she'll email it to you. She get your address, so it'll
awesome.
Be available, and we're going to link it also to the KGFX blog. I'm working on that with Linda now, too, so we're going to be working together. We're going to be doing big things.
Sounds like a plan, and you know, feel free to call me anytime, guys. I'm always up to talk about MMA or any other sport for that matter. I love sports in general, so anything you guys want to talk about, I'm always giving attention.
All right, great. Well, we'll see you on April 3rd. We'll see you. And best of luck. And
yeah,
I know you're not going to need it, but.
Make sure you say hello. And, you know, I'm pretty relaxed before my fights. I'm usually screwing around. So come find me and say hello.
All right.
We'll do it.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Good luck to you.
Okay. So now we got Christian Walker.
I just realized something. I was looking at both of the records.
Yeah.
You know, he beat 6-0, 6 wins in the first round.
Yeah.
Warcraft is 5-0, 5 wins in the first round.
Oh, wow.
Will the fight make the second round?
Will the fight make the second round? Odds are, no. Is that right? 900-1 odds? I don't know what the statistics are on that one. To get a bad genius in here. But that's a good eye there, Tony. I would never pick that up.
Yeah,
news. Leave it to the boxing guy.
That's right. And Chris Walker and Brother have also had their way in round zero.
I saw that, yeah. I saw they both got him. That must just be in the first minute, I guess. We're going to get Christian on the phone again, see if he remembers us. Dude, he answered the phone, I said.
Forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 7-7-4-4-8.
Not going to give out his number.
Okay, so the story says, unlike other journalists, I did my research and made a phone call to Dan Raphael, smugly noted on a recent episode of Friday Night Fights, and then proceeded to dismiss the comeback of